Hi everybody, I'm Stevie B. I'm a recovering alcoholic.
Hey,
member of the Golden Text Group in Dania and the West Side Men's Group in Fort Lauderdale. Good to be here with you guys tonight. I hope you enjoyed last week if you were here. Jerry is one of my main guys. I love him very much. He's my sponsee. We were in the same family together. And I looked over during the meeting and I just felt we were, you know, in the zone. And I look over and my dear friend was sleeping in the front row. And then after the meeting, not only did he sleep in the front row with his mouth open, then after the meeting he says to me, "That was the best meeting of all the stuff." I'm not sure exactly what that means, but that is all true, and I'm not exaggerating. I want to tell you we're going to have a great time tonight because we're going to talk about sex, and we're going to talk about God. And you might think, how can we talk about God and sex in the same vein? Let's make sure we have a seat for Elliot. Elliot, good to see you, Elliot. Well, we're going to talk about sex and God. And we're going to talk about God and sex. And we're going to talk about conduct, and we're going to talk about God-given gifts. God-given traits and how they go astray. And then we're going to talk about how. Then some more sex, because this front row looks like they need a little bit more of that. And then we're going to finish up with God, okay? So I think it should all work out in the end. And then we might even throw in some more sex. Exactly. So on page 68, it begins now about sex. We're back in step five. We spoke last week about doing our fifth step. We spoke about preparing our fourth step, about the power of the fifth step. And I just want to speak a little bit more on one of the... get D right up here.
Yo.
Yo. D, you're going to love this. We're going to start off on our favorite topic, God and sex. All right, so on page 68, it says, now more about sex. Many of us needed an overhauling there, but above all, we tried to be sensible on this question. I had a sponsee last week that was sitting with me, and we were discussing inventories, which is fear. Resentment, of course. Let's start off with resentment. We spoke about that last week. That should be the big one, I would imagine. If you're anything like me, I had 1,000 resentments, real and imagined. I resented people that I never even met. I resented a whole country once. I resented the country of France. I said, those French people are such stuck-up snobs. And my sponsor said to me, well, when were you there? I said, I wasn't there, but I heard. I heard. They're very nasty if you don't speak French. He goes, well, maybe it's possible you should go first before you hate a whole country. But to me, it seemed like, you know, reasonable to hate a whole people. Because I heard they were stuck up. You know, that so real or imagined. And then fears, real or imagined. And the thing about fears is you're going to have just as many imagined fears as you are real fears. Because there's things that we're afraid of. Well, I can't say that for sure. But there's things that we're afraid of that we've never even been through, of course. You know, fear of death. Fear of being buried alive, fear of falling off a building. You know, most of us have not experienced those three. You know, fear of speaking in public, fear of the police, fear of being arrested, fear of being alone for the rest of our lives. You know, I had that on my first inventory at 24 years old. I said, I have a fear of being alone for the rest of my life. That was a big fear for me. And my sponsor said, you've never even been alone yet. How do you have a fear of being alone for the rest of your life? I said, but you don't know what could have happened. I could be in a place where nobody wants to talk to me. He says, has that happened yet? I go, no. He goes, it's probably not going to happen. But so you write it down. Okay, so that's we have resentments. We have fears. We have harms caused others. And some of the harms caused others, you're not going to be able to make direct amends. I'm not going to be funny on this, I'm going to be serious. You're not going to be able to make direct amends to everyone that you've made, that you've caused harm to. I'm sorry to tell you. Some of the people that you've caused harm to, you don't know their names. Some of the people that you've caused harm to, maybe people that you have slept with or been with during a drunkenness or a drug thing, and it might be, you may have on your inventory, you know, a guy a guy with the red tie. You may have a girl with the blue skirt. You know, you may have a guy and a girl with the blue skirt. You know, you don't know, because there's people that I've woken up next to that I'm on their four step right now, and I'm like, who are you? And they're like, who are you? I'm on their four step right now. So that's harms caused others, and sometimes the people we've caused harm to have passed away. And there's going to be things as we go through the steps I'm going to talk to you about in step 10 about making amends, step 9 about making amends to like a woman's organization or a men's organization or a Jewish organization, depending on who you've harmed. We're going to talk about more about that when we get to step 9. That's not tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about sex. Because when we talk about doing the four step, that's really what people start to freak out about. They don't want to tell other people their sex stuff. They don't want to tell their sponsor, and they may even say, oh, I don't want to tell God my sex stuff. Well, God definitely knows your sex stuff. He was there. And so that's a big one you can just cross off. He was already there. And so that, to me, I think it's very good that we talk about it tonight, because I want you to know, if you haven't done the four step, and I'm seeing a lot of new people here tonight, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I would say the majority of the people here are under, I wouldn't say the majority, but there's a lot of people here that are under 1 year. I can tell you right now. And so that means some of you haven't done your fifth step yet. And one of the big things that's holding you back on the fifth step is because you think that no one's going to understand your sex stuff. What I want to tell you is that your sponsor is going to understand your sex stuff, because your sponsor has their own sex stuff. And if you go to a priest, they got their own sex stuff too. You go to a rabbi, they got their own sex stuff too. Everybody that's been created since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve, they got sex stuff. So knowing that we're all pretty much equal, except, you know, one person likes vanilla ice cream, the other person likes Rocky Road, another person likes sherbet, another person likes pistachio. We all like ice cream. If I asked you in this room right now how many people like ice cream, 90% of you would raise your hand. You know, 10% of you are going to be stubborn anyway and pretend you don't like ice cream. But under intense questioning, you will break, and there's no doubt you will like ice cream, because everyone does. So I remember I was meeting with a guy 2 weeks ago, and he's like, I don't like ice cream. You remember that? I said, he goes, I don't like ice cream. I go, really? And I started to question him. After a couple minutes, it turned out he liked sherbet. I'm like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You just proved my point. Okay? It's a frozen deliciousness. Okay? So, one set of voices cried that sex is a lust of our lower nature, a base necessity of procreation. Then we have voices who cry for sex and more sex, who bewail the institutions of marriage, who think that most of our troubles of the race are traceable to sex causes. What does that mean? Some people want it all the time. Some people think it's okay to have sex with everybody. Some people think it's only, you know, myself, I'm married, of course, I think it's only for a husband and a wife. It doesn't matter what your sponsor thinks. This is between you and God. And the most important thing is you just need to get it down on paper. And as I said last week, I believe that my sponsor should be able to handle anything that I can give him. Otherwise, I believe to get a new sponsor, another sponsor. There's nothing wrong with him. I should have the faith in my sponsor that he can handle my stuff. Now, I know that that's not always true. My sponsor, Russell's an attorney, and I have seen it firsthand that people have paid him to do their fifth step. So there's a confidentiality between attorney and client privilege, and he can't say anything. I really believe that every sponsor that I've had before, I believe that they also have a client privilege clause in them if they're a good AA. I've never uttered anyone's fifth step back, and I like to talk, you know, but I've never said anyone's fifth step back in any situation, because when you've been given the gift of someone's personal information, you understand the immense responsibility of that. You know, when someone sits in front of you and they have tears in their eyes and they say, I did this, and you receive it, and it actually turns out to be a beautiful thing. And some of the things that I've heard over the years, you know, I remember one guy, and of course I'm not going to mention his name, so stop that. And he was like, this is the worst thing ever. And I was just patient. I'm like, just tell me, don't let it get over your chest, get over your chest. And then he told me, and it was really not even, not only was it not the worst thing ever, it was not even in the top 20 worst things ever. It was, but for him, it was the worst thing ever, you know? And then afterwards, he was able to walk away from that, a freer man. So as we spoke about in the beginning, I said God and sex, because God created sex. God created sex, otherwise we wouldn't have so many people in this room. God created sex because he wanted us to procreate, to make babies, and there was a reason for it. Now, of course, it's also pleasurable. So in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, on page 68 and 69, it has all you could want in a big book version to talk about sex. Not all you want to talk about sex, because that's one of the reasons we're doing a four-step. All you want in a big book version to talk about sex. And it's all G-rated. Okay, Sherry, I hope I didn't say anything. No, right? We're good? Let's go to the bottom of page 69. Whatever our ideal turns out to be. See, we've crossed now in these two pages. Some people are screaming for more. Some people are screaming, no, don't do it. Some people are screaming pistachio. Other people are screaming Rocky Road. Other people are screaming sherbet. Okay? And then sums it up on the bottom of page 69. Whatever our ideals turn out to be, we must be willing to grow towards it. So here's the ideal. Here's the ideal. My ideal, because I'm married, is I only want to be thinking about my wife. That's my ideal. I want to tell you that has not happened in the last 19 years, that I only think about my wife. But I want to. Okay, I want to. And this is on tape, and my brother-in-law's here, and he'll probably rat me out. I want to only think about her. Okay? But I don't only think about her. Other things pop into my mind. What this says is, but I at least have to be striving towards that. Because it's an ideal. Like I look, every week this gentleman sits here with his gigantic biceps, curling, looking at me with a veins popping out. And I hate him. I hate everything about his body. He's got 0% fat. His quadriceps are pumping out of his skinny jeans. And I don't like it. I don't like it because I want that. That's an ideal. That's where I'm shooting for. Okay, that's what I'm shooting for. And when it comes to sex, if we're just okay with misbehaving, you're not getting it. If we're just okay with bad behavior, you're not there yet. If we're just okay, if we're just saying, well, this is who I am, you really almost have to back up to step three. Made a decision to turn our life and our will over to the care of God. Once again, three frogs sitting on a log and then one jumps is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a life run on God's power. And a life run on God's power is not us just going around having sex with everybody. Because that's inside every single man, woman, right now, we know what's right. I'm not telling you what flavor to pick. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Like Stephen, he tells me what flavor. No, I didn't say what flavor. I just said you can't have all 31 flavors is what I said. Okay? Sexual should not be the Baskin Robbins menu. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow towards it. We must be willing to make amends where we've done harm. Provided we do not bring about still more harm doing so. We will talk about that in step 9. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. Listen to what that just said. Because every word in the big book is written specifically. That Bill and Bob didn't just write stuff down and Bill didn't just write stuff haphazardly. His hand was directed by God. Every sentence. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Every sentence. He is our father. We are his children. He is our director. We are his agents. Every sentence is penned by the hand of, I believe, my opinion, of course, my opinion that it was penned by the hand of God. And this is no difference in this sentence. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. Okay. Now I feel like they get me. It's not that you're telling me not to do it. It's not that you're telling me I'm a bad person. You're telling me that sex gone astray, or as much as I want to have it, that's a problem. Great, now I'm in the game. Because if you were telling me that, and this was, see, early on when they were in the Oxford group, before Alcoholics Anonymous, they had these four absolutes, which was very hard for guys like us, and women like us, women like you. Very hard. They had absolute honesty, absolute unselfishness, absolute love. But here's the one that sent all the AAs running out of the room, screaming with their hair on fire, never to come back again. Then they used the word absolute purity. The four absolutes before Alcoholics Anonymous were such high ideals that nobody was attaining it. They realized they're going to have to maybe lower the bar a little bit in Alcoholics Anonymous, because look at this front row here, other than these two ladies, there was nobody from here on in that was getting the absolute purity, especially not Danny, not one of them. So it was going to disqualify a whole section of people if they used those ideals. So what we do now is we realize that we're shooting for ideals. They really can't be absolutes, not for people like us. Now, we might have an absolute great day. You know when you have one of those absolute great days? You haven't lusted majorly. You haven't overeaten. You haven't cursed. You haven't taken anyone's inventory. You went to a meeting. You stayed awake in the meeting. And everything is going great. And it's as close to absolute perfection as you can get. But then you go home. After the meeting, you still got almost an hour or two before bed, before sleep. And we I can't say all the time, but a lot of times we absolutely blow it. Not only is it an absolute perfect day up until when we get home past the meeting, everything's going good, you're looking away, you're not lusting, you're not overeating, you're not cursing, you're not taking anyone's inventory, you're in a meeting, you didn't fall asleep, and then you still got 2 hours before you sleep. That's a long 2 hours. Right? That's a long... I got some head shaking back. You know what I'm saying? It's a long 2 hours. Well, the good news is, it's 12 steps, not one. They started off with the four absolutes and realized we were going to fail miserably short. Most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. And in step 5, we realized it's about getting closer to our Creator, not further away from our Creator. Shooting for perfection. Shooting for perfection. But knowing we're not going to land there, and progress, not perfection. You see, I'm not a guy that shoots for mediocrity in anything I do. I love these guys that are like, well, I'm going to shoot for mediocrity. You know, let me shoot for the middle. Let me shoot for like low. Let me shoot for a C. That's the way I was in school. A C for me was an A. A C grade for me was an A because I shot for C's. My whole goal was 70. There was other kids in the class. Their goal was 100. I didn't even know there was 30 more points after 70. Because I went in there with the goal of hitting 70. I felt if I hit 70, that was great. It turns out, in a class of 5,000, I was 2,400. I was right at C. Because I was shooting for C. And that's where I shot, and that's where I landed. Now, in the big book, it's clear that God is saying to us, you can have it all, but you got to shoot for it all. The next line, which is incredible, is God alone can judge our sex situation. That's why I said, I'm not telling you what flavor to choose. Don't come up to me afterwards and start doing a mini fifth step while you're on the line and let me know what your flavor is. And is that okay with the Bible? That's got to be okay with you and God, not me. There's not a fifth step line at the end, okay? I'm not here to work on your sex conduct. I have enough information on my sex conduct that has to be worked out. Okay? I just hit 50 and it looks like I'm not going to be perfect anytime soon. All right? So God alone can judge our sex situation. Counsel with persons is often desirable. And this is why I'm going to let you know. But, let God be the final judge. And let me tell you why that is. Because depending on where you're at in your sexual conduct, you can always find someone that's going to say it's okay. You know who to pick, okay? In my first sobriety, I had a guy that, when I don't know if I told you, we were in the middle of my fifth step, and I'm telling him about my sex stuff, and he's like, let's go. We left and we went to a strip club in the middle of my fifth step. I don't know if I told you that last week. We left and went to a strip club in the middle of my fifth step. I knew to pick this guy. I picked the worst degenerate in the meeting that had longer time, because I knew as soon as I told him my stuff, he'd be like, he couldn't judge me, because he was like, you know, like, I think they call him Peter the Perv. I don't know who he was exactly. So you cannot get your information from other people in AA. What you can do is get counsel. But I think, you know, the big book says that wisdom comes in a multitude of counsel. And it says, be very wise who you choose in counsel. I have a team around me now that is just solid. We all have different ideas on different flavors and different things. But every one of us, we were just sitting at dinner tonight. Just was incredible, right? We were having a great dinner, Dion. And we're sitting there, and the whole conversation was about God. One guy was talking about how he was talking about God in the gym. Another guy was talking about how he was talking about God in the meetings. Another person's been through intense sadness in the last 2 years. He was talking about how God worked that out in his heart. The whole table. And we were so attractive. I don't mean physically. We were so attractive in our spirit at the table that some ladies were walking by and they just had to stop. And they just said, what type of table is this? They thought maybe we were on like a bachelor party, you know, or a guys gone wild dinner or something. And they just stopped and they looked at Ellie and go, what are you guys doing? What are you celebrating? You guys are exciting. And we said, we're celebrating life. Because once you've been set free, right, which is what we are, we're set free. Those of you in here that are set free, you know who you are. You're the ones that are going like this. You're set free. You're like, I'm set free. And those of you in here that are not set free, you know who you are because you're sitting there like this. But I want you to know the potential is there to be set free. So if you're still like stuck in cement face, don't worry. It gets better. Okay, that's the good news. You don't always have, not everybody in here has to be set free tonight. Okay, but I want you to know the potential is for freedom. Isn't that great? Whereas we're in a restaurant and people are stopping us to find out, and there's not a curse word coming out of the table. Eight guys, eight men from 50 years of sobriety or 49 years of sobriety all the way down to 3 months of sobriety. 49 years of sobriety down to 3 months of sobriety and not a curse word coming out of the table. The word God being thrown around like Pastor Pepper. Now, you understand how incredible that is? I'm from New York. I never had a meal in my entire life that the F-bomb was not. We were like past the F and salt. This is F and good sauce. You know, everything in my life had to do with the F. You know, even my mom was like, is this F and unbelievable? Everything. This is the way we grew up. It's just part of, you know, it's just part of our vocabulary. Once you enter into this new freedom, this new happiness, right, John? We can't wait to get my whole week. And I want to thank you, Andy, because you know this was a big deal for me to be able to do this, right? But I didn't know how much I needed this. My whole week now is centered around this. It's like incredible, and that's what's going to happen to you as you get free. You're going to start building your week around meetings. You're going to, when you see that, like on Wednesday, you can't get to a meeting, you're going to be like trying to fit in something on Thursday. I know it's crazy, Philip. I know it's your first time in the program. You never even heard of something like this. But you're going to, like, when you miss a meeting, you're going to be like trying to jam one in like on a Thursday. I mean, what kind of craziness is this? Well, someone's going to say, I haven't seen you here at noon. I know, I missed a meeting last night. Oh, so you're jamming it here at the train station that has no train on the tracks. Yeah, that's where I'm at. It's incredible. But let God be the final judge. We realize that some people are as fanatical about sex as others are loose, so we avoid any hysterical thinking or advice. Now, this is where I want you to feel some freedom in this statement. Suppose we fall short on the chosen ideal and stumble. Please raise your hand if you've stumbled in your sexual ideal in the last year or two or three or four. Just raise your hand. Come on. Really? Oh, come on. Really? Really? We got it. Dion's being honest and the rest of you are like, I'm perfect in my sexual conduct. Really? So then who's everyone having sex with if the rest of you are perfect? Do you notice that everything in the media right now Everything that's being said in the media right now has to do with sexual conduct, yes? Everything we're hearing. You can't turn on the news without sexual conduct. Two things, murder and sexual conduct. It's because they don't have this type of arena. They don't have this. They may not have a step where they can go and sit in front of a sponsor and say, you know what, this is really what's in me. From the outside, it looked like I have it all together. But from the inside, I want to tell you, I'm insecure. I'm neurotic. I got sex issues. I've done harm to people. I got fears. I've committed wrongs to other people. That's why most of us in here, we're just crazy about what we're doing, because there's a freedom. And we all know in here, because of our big book, because of our sponsorship, because of the steps, that we're imperfect. Some of us in here are religious people. I've seen some people here with yarmulkes on. I'm a religious person, I want you to know also. One of the great freedoms in Alcoholics Anonymous is there's no perfect people allowed. Because perfect people always use. Perfect people set themselves up for failure. And in Alcoholics Anonymous, especially in the fourth and fifth step, we realize, because you're going to sit in front of a sponsor that's going to be probably a great sponsor. And that the reason, by the way, I forgot to tell you last week, the reason I like a sponsor as opposed, even though people have great experiences, I'm talking about me now, my personal. I like to sponsor instead of a minister or a rabbi is because my sponsors always share with me their stuff too. You know, I'm like, I talk about pistachio and my sponsor would say, well, then, let me tell you about my vanilla experience. You know, and that's very rare. You're not going to get a minister that I say, let me tell you what happened with pistachio and strawberry, and the minister's going to go, well, let me tell you about my chocolate vanilla experience. That's very rarely going to happen. They mostly sit in there like this, you know, and then you do how, you know, or, you know, let me wrap some film. You know, I like to be there with someone that's real and that make me feel better, you know. And my sponsors are always, not the guy that I had in my first sobriety. That was not a sponsor. That was a guy that signed off on my bad business. But my sponsors were always and still are always guys that are real. They're always guys that are real. I recently went and sat with one of them and told him about something I was going through in the last couple of years. And I did like a little mini fifth step on one specific area of my life. Because for me, everyone's going to have stuff that's going to continue to pop up, which we're going to talk about right now. Step six and step six. My stuff that always pops up like a whack-a-mole game is lust and anger. Is lust and anger. And it's like, and I think I got it all going on. And my, I don't know if you've ever seen the whack-a-mole game, you know, that game with the moles that pop up. And they just come up sometimes my board is all down and I'm feeling phenomenal. I got a whole day like to like at 8 o'clock, all the moles are down and I'm feeling spiritually like a giant. It was one of those days where, like I said earlier, that everything's just going perfect. And then a mole just pops up and I'm like, really? I didn't even know I had that. You know, and by the way, the older you get, you get different types of moles that are going to pop up in defects of character. Because years ago, I looked like you. So I wouldn't be upset with you. My dislike of you is only recent. Right, recent, like in the last 4 weeks. It's recent. Because when you're younger and you have everything going on and everything's hitting on all cylinders, you're not really thinking about someone's Ferrari. You know, you don't really, it's not, you're thinking about, you know, dating and all that kind of stuff. And as you get older, different things pop up. Your hair starts to recede, so you start resenting guys with full hair. And there's all new things. There's new things that pop up. You know, you start resenting people that don't have hairy ears. You know, weird stuff comes up as you get older, okay? So new defects are going to come up. But on the fifth step, I want you to know, when you finish, you are going to have a new freedom and a new happiness. It doesn't mean you're going to be totally there. I've never met a person in the whole 27 years I've been here that when you ask them if they had some relief after the fifth step, I've never met one person that said no. I've met people that say it wasn't as much relief as they thought. Totally understandable. Everyone has different phases of relief. You may get a whole bunch of relief after 3 months after the fifth step. But I've never met, and there was someone here last week that was doing the fifth step, and from last week to this week. Who was that? How'd that go? How do you feel?
Tremendous.
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 Let's give him a round of applause. That's tremendous. Right? He feels tremendous. That's not always everybody. That's a great one right there, tremendous. People, sometimes you'll get better. I feel better. I feel like I'm on my way. I bet you I'm going to tell you right now, I forgot your first name, Steve?
Joe.
I 100% Joe feels more in this. Is that your first fifth step?
Yes.
100% Joe feels more he's in the program. Joe does not feel like a spectator. You finish your fifth step, you don't feel like you're watching someone else work on your car. You feel like a mechanic. You're in there. You feel like you're in the deal. And Joe feels like he's in the deal today. That I can guarantee. Now, he said he feels tremendous. And that too shall pass after a while. And then life will kick in and some more sins will come up and some more defects of character will come up and the cleanliness will start to feel a little bit soiled. Then we have steps for that too, which is so great, Joe. We have great steps for that, which is the daily inventory. So we're going to finish that and our sponsor is going to say to us, go home, think about what we just did, pray about what we just did, spend some time with God, and then I want you to take the big book down and I want you to think about if you really put the work into the last five steps. Did you really put the mortar? Did you really put the concrete into the first five steps that you just did? And you're going to think about that. Now, I've never heard this been said before and I've never actually said it, but this is what I want to tell you is that I believe that if you feel like you have not done the fifth step and the steps before to the best of your ability, if you have not put, where's the line? Because it's so much better than what I'm doing here. What was it saying? Yeah. Well, exactly what you said. For some reason, I can't find it. But what it says is, do you feel that you've made bricks without sand? Cement without mortar? Like that type of stuff. If you feel you have not done the first five steps to the best of your ability, to myself, I would say stop. Backtrack. Don't start on step six yet. Because step six is really the place where it separates the men from the boys and the women from the girls. Because if you're entirely ready to have God, Jerry, please don't fade out, okay? 2 weeks in a row would be an intense slap to my ego. You're sitting next to Dion. Please. Blinking. That was the longest blink I've ever seen. A blink is a second. You had a 5 minute blink. This is the set that separates the men from the boys, the women from the girls. So declares a well-loved clergyman that happens to be one of our AA's greatest friends. Step six, entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. You've just went over them in step five. They're glaring now. Right now, Joe, right now, after a week after he just did his, or within a week he just did his fifth step, he has some of his glaring defects. He knows them now. His sponsor was wise enough to help him see that he's selfish. I bet you one of the top five is he's going to see he's self-centered. He's selfish. You're not going to come away with feeling you're a pervert. That's not one of the things you're going to come away with. That's not one of the gifts of the program. No one walks away with a fifth step going, I'm a degenerate. That's not one of the gifts that get brought up. But you're going to see that you're selfish, right, Joe? You probably have selfish in there. And you also see that you're not blameless. A lot of times we think we're victims. By the end of the fifth step, you realize you're really not a victim, except in some situations. Most of the time, you're a volunteer. Okay? Most of the time, I'm saying some situations, you're totally a victim. But most of the time, Joe's probably feeling like he participated in some of his bad behavior. And that's also very freeing. It's also very freeing to know that you're not a victim because victims don't recover. So now you participate in your recovery. So here we are, entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. Which defects? Well, some of the defects are the seven deadly sins. I don't know if we call them deadly sins in the program, but there are the deadly sins. They're the pagels: pride, anger, greed, gluttony, envy, lust, and sloth, which is laziness. We put that last because it's sloth. It's terrible. Pride, anger, greed, gluttony, envy, lust, and sloth. Okay, yeah, we put it right there. Because sloth is lazy, and you can't even, you almost like gotta pull them up. And at any given day, we're going to suffer from either one of them, or seven of them, or a combination of them. And if you don't think you do, then I don't really know what to tell you. But I know, and most of us in here that have been around, even for a little amount of time, Joe, I don't know how long you've been around, but even if you've been here for a little amount of time, you know that we all suffer from different things depending on where we're at, right? This Thursday, which one do you think you're going to suffer from a lot this Thursday?
Gluttony,
right? This Thursday's is Turkey Day, right? You're going to have pie, you're going to have gluttony, and then after you eat all that tryptophan, you're going to have sloth. Right? Some of you guys are going to be having Thanksgiving with your family, so you better be watching your anger. Okay? Because your family's not how to push buttons like nobody else does. I remember many, many Christmas days, many Christmas times with my grandfather. He was from Sicily. My dad's from Napoli. Many Christmases where explosions have happened. And I'm talking about in sobriety. I'm not talking about with drunkenness and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about not being prepared for anger. You know, Merry Christmas. You go to the Merry Christmas and all of a sudden, you know, potatoes are flying, you know, pasta's being thrown at each other, MFs are, and holidays are ruined, right? This week we go into Thanksgiving, first of all, with a grateful heart because we're sober. Amen? We're sober, we're grateful. That's right. Those of us that are in this meeting can be grateful for a great meeting place. A great meeting place. I mean, look at this. This is the house of God. A great meeting place. That's a great AA. We're in South Florida. We're in great AA. We have hundreds of meetings per night. Great AA. We have religious freedom down here. We have multicultural diversity down here. That's incredible. These are all things to be grateful for. But defects of character are going to come up at Thanksgiving. And if you go into the day feeling like you're perfect and nothing's going to happen, you're going to be sadly woken up by the end of the day. Now for myself, I'm going to make sure that on Thanksgiving I do two meetings. I like to do two meetings, Annie. I prepare because I got sloth, I got lust, I got anger, I got a whole bunch of... I don't know if I'm going to have lust, but it's possible. At any given day, it could come up. You know, it's not... I'm always, you know, keeping a mindful eye on that. But I love pie. You know, I love pecan pie. I love blueberry pie, apple pie, cheesecake pie, cheesecake itself. I love stuffing with sausage in it. I love with the pistachio. So already we see that things. And I like turkey that's done the right way. A juicy turkey is phenomenal. So there's going to be the extra tryptophan being shot through my veins. And what's that? Mac and cheese? Lobster mac and cheese. I'm not having lobster mac and cheese. You having lobster mac and cheese? Everybody at Sherry's having lobster mac and cheese, if you know Sherry. That's going to be a good dinner. So we have all these defects, right? We have all these defects. But we come to this place in the program, and I want you to know if you have 3 weeks, you could start thinking about your defects. If you have 3 weeks and you're doing things that are going to upset your recovery, you can start to talk to God about having these removed. Okay? One thing I'm not going to ask, one thing I wouldn't recommend you start working on in your third week or fourth week or second month is to talk about smoking and all the outside stuff. You know, we come in, we want to, 2 weeks ago we were, you know, smoking stuff from a bathtub, you know, by a guy named Rufus, and then we want to be vegans. Right? Right? We're rolled up in a carpet, you know, we're drinking bong water, then we come in, we want to be vegans. In between there is where we're shooting. Okay? In between there is where we're shooting. Okay? What the defects that I'm talking about that we should be looking at are doing things in our current situation that are going to endanger our sobriety. Okay, and you know what they are. I'm not going to start giving you the list of things to be careful for, but to be careful of. But let me tell you this: my dear friend Kurt, that's 27, that's going to be 28 years sober next month. No, this month, 28 years sober, almost died from gambling addiction in his 20th year. I'm not going to give you a whole list of things to watch out for, but I'm going to give you some things that I would be very, very careful of. Things that you know that sexually that are going to take you out of the box that is your ideal that you're shooting for, that's going to lead you closer to a drink than it is further away from drink. You know what they are. Okay, if you're going through all these type of things and you're meeting people on the internet and you're meeting them at places, that's getting you closer to a drink. You know that, and I know that. I'm not going to preach from the dais here. What we're going to be talking about in step six is being entirely ready to have God remove these defects. Because here's the bottom line: you're not going to be able to do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. I can't remove my defects. I love how I go to a meeting, I hear someone say, "I'm working on my character defect of patience." I don't even know how do you work on your character defect of patience? I've never been able to work on any character defect at any time. I've been able to give them to God, and then I've said to him, "I'm going to stop this behavior," and then he gives me the strength to be able to stay away from them. But I've never had God in the middle of a lustful situation come down and whack me. Never. I've had him, I'll be brutally honest, I've had God intervene, and I'm about to make a sexy phone call and the phone dies. Right? I'm about to go, I'm supposed to be on HomeDepot.com and I'm going to something else.com and the computer goes clack, turns off. I've had that happen. I go to do my taxes and I'm supposed to put a 1 there, but instead I put a 0 there, and then my pen stops writing. So I have had God help me. But the key with step 6 and 7 is, and we're going to get to 7 next week, the key with step 6 is, I call it the cease and desist step. It means I have to participate in God cleaning my house. I have to participate in God cleaning my house. I can't work on not speeding the car when I'm speeding up to 80 miles an hour and say I'm working on not speeding. I have to not speed at 55, Margo. I know that's very difficult for you. I have to speed. I have to not speed and then ask God for the strength to stay not speeding. People say, "I'm working on my patience." I don't know how that even looks, working on your patience. I've never been able to not curse until I ask God to take away my defective character of cursing. George, you know that, where we're from. George is from the Bronx. I'm from Long Island. It is inbred in us. Inbred. You ask for Pop-Tarts with the F curse. You say, "Can I have another F and Pop-Tart?" And your mother says, "F and right, you can have a Pop-Tart." So when I came into the program and then I started to have a closer relationship with God, and I said, "Pass the F and Pop-Tart," something popped up in me and said, "You don't have to talk like that anymore, Steve. You're actually sober and you're trying to get closer to God." And then I started to ask God to help me with that, and he did. I have not raised my hands in a serious way to another man in the last 15 and a half years. Sorry. I had to remember when it was. I had an altercation in the Office Depot parking lot, but that was 15 and a half years ago. Before then, I was having an altercation monthly. That's just something we do. This is something you lift your hands first so that you don't get hit. I had a headbutting incident in the Pompano Beach group 22 years ago. In the meeting, I headbutted another man in the meeting at the Pompano Beach group. The guy was talking while my sponsor was talking, and because I was so spiritually fit, I went up to him and I said, "Hey, yo, you're talking. My sponsor's talking." He was from Brooklyn, so he told me where to stick my 2 cents. And bing, I whack him with my head. Meanwhile, we're clearing tables. I mean, the meeting's going on. I asked him to be quiet in a disrespectful way. We're clearing tables. That has not happened in 15 and a half years. In 15 and a half years. Because ask God to remove that from me. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I forget not to ask Him. I have a good run for a while and everything's going good. And then I think I'm cured in the anger area. And then a defect will pop up and it's disgusting. A mole will come and I'll whack it. Maria, you know what I'm talking about, right, with the defect of character. Everybody looks at Maria. She's so nice. She's calm. But let me tell you, before getting sober, let me tell you, Marie knows. She understands. And a lot of you guys in this understand. Because you come off meek and nice, and God bless you. But, you know, don't give you enough turkey at Thanksgiving. That's it. We ask God in our daily meditation to remove these things from us. Now, it's not going to be magical, because here's the thing. I bet you that if I asked you to raise your hand on how many people in here ask God to remove your alcoholism and your drug addiction, and most of you in here are going to say, I asked God. I said, God help me. Right, DeMar? God help me. And you haven't had a drink since. Or you may have. I'm not saying you haven't had a relapse. Like, I had a relapse in 6.5 years, unfortunately. But what I'm saying is, when you ask God, He delivers in that area. Right? Can I have a show of hands? When you ask God to remove you... alcohol and drugs, it happened, right? Right, sure, right, it happened, right? Everything else is a work in progress. You know, my treatment center, we have a t-shirt that says, work in progress. That's our t-shirt, says, work in progress. Because there's going to be a work in progress. From everybody in here, from, I would imagine that 49 years, is anyone longer sober than 49 years? Raise your hand if you're longer sober than 49. Well, who... everybody in here from 49 years sober down, it's a work in progress. For the people that are here for the one days, it's a work in progress. For the people that are in 49, it's a work in progress. I was with Clancy last year, right? John, we were with Clancy, and he was celebrating his 59th year at St. Thomas. And we were sitting with this man who's 91 years old, at 59 years of sobriety. He was a work in progress. And he knew that. And that was what was so beautiful about him. He's a work in progress. This whole thing is a work in progress. Now, once you know that, you're going to be excited about the work in progress. Right? You're going to be excited because each day is going to give you a new opportunity to get closer to your Creator. That's exciting. I think it's exciting. I mean, to walk hand in hand with the Creator of the universe, that's exciting, right? And you could see those people. You could see those people that are walking hand in hand with the Creator. They got that nice smile. They got the twinkle in their eyes. I'm not saying they're perfect. There's nobody perfect. One shot, there's no big shots. One shot, we're all shot. I just want you to know that. No pedestals here. But you could see the people that are getting it. You could see the people that have it. And you could see the people know that they have to give it away to keep it. You see all those sayings? They're all spiritually sayings. You know the people that got it? You know the people that want it? You can see the people that need it? There's some people in here that need it. Some of you guys in here look like you need it. Okay? Look like you need it. A closer relationship with God. And the big book says that God is not a respecter of persons. The big book says that God will not make hard terms for those that seek Him. Listen to what I just said. I didn't say it. The big book said it. That God will not make hard terms for those that seek Him. You understand what I just said? It's not as small as you just sitting there like I didn't say anything. It's a big deal. Do you think that I have a relationship with God? Say yes or no.
Yes.
You bet your tushy I do. And most everybody in Alcoholics Anonymous, the ones that are getting, the ones that have this, like Annie. You meet Annie. Do you know Annie?
Oh, yeah.
Meet Annie. That's a God Annie, right? Annie's like a God girl, right? She's got a God thing going on. Well, the big book says that what Annie has, God wants to give to everybody, because God does not make hard terms for those that seek Him. The only thing that separates us from Annie is our defects of character. And the only thing that separates Annie from us is her defects of character. And the thing that keeps us joined together is us working together collectively on our defects of character through God. Okay? If we threw a bunch of defects into the middle and we could go and grab anybody's defects, we'd go and grab ours, because we actually know deep down inside of us, that they're going to be worked on with Him and it's going to be okay. But you got to be entirely ready. Here's the whole crux of this. And then we'll end. Okay, relax. I just saw it was time. I saw you getting fidgety and starting to get all nervous. The prerequisite, the entrance fee for this step, the VIG for this step, the money that needs to be paid for this step, is that you just have to be entirely ready. You don't have to be godly. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to know the pagels. It helps. All you have to do, you know, you don't even have to be entirely ready. You just have to be almost entirely ready. You just have to be entirely almost ready. You just need to be entirely in the meeting, right? You just need to be like have a pulse. You know, I see we went from absolute honesty, absolute purity, absolute unselfishness, absolute love to you just need to have a pulse. And then God will work out the rest. Next week we're going to talk about step seven, happy Thanksgiving. God bless you guys.